I didn't know the series was over.
Well, things are getting interesting in the NBA and the NHL. And John just jinxed the Astros. What are the odds it only gets better? We'll tell you. It's a Wednesday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, Deep South Barrels presents What Are the Odds Wednesday? This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And the Blitz is on for a Wednesday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, AJ Hoffman, the role model. Jong Lee, the master, if you want to get in today, 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, put your comments on visitor posts. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jungle Fever, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And it's a Wednesday where we do things just a little bit differently. If the Astros lose, what are the odds it's all Jong's fault?
It's at least 50% Jong's fault.
Percent 1,000.
Yeah, because Jong walked in here and said, okay, so this means they'll split the series when the Astros win, and then Gregerson gives up a double and a triple, and next thing you know, it's going to extra innings, tied 3-3.
And then I was corrected that this was a three-game series, and the Astros would win two of the three, and Gregerson happened.
Yeah, well, have no fear, Jong. Because the murderers know of Gonzalez, Valbuena, and Gomez are due up in the bottom of the inning.
Oh, well, that's good.
Over or under 1.5 strikeouts?
Over.
Jabba Chamberlain on the mound? That's tough. That's a good number. I'll go slightly over, though. I'll take my chances with the over.
Well, I mean, somebody will get on base, too, so, yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry.
It's okay. There's four people out there who are upset with you right now. David Delotti's one of them, and then the three guys who listen to a show on Tuesday. So you're fine, though. We do things a little differently today. Let's put odds on things. So what are the odds that you've screwed up your knee again?
I don't know how much it's screwed up, but it's at least it's temporarily screwed up at best. So I've been in a bummed out mood all day today because at the gym, I felt it pop today. And what's crazy is today is the 1-year anniversary since my second ACL surgery. And I saw it on my Facebook memories thing. And I was like, I told my wife, I was like, it's pretty awesome that, you know, I've been so active and been able to do whatever I wanted with this knee. It's been so good. And, you know, I've competed in the last year. I'm doing jiu-jitsu and wrestling classes all the time. And no more than 2 hours after we talked about that, I was limping in from the gym and icing down my knee because it popped today. So,
hopefully it's not
thoughts and prayers to my knee.
Twitter thoughts and prayers.
I am Derrick Rose. I am Jadeveon Clowney. Although I'm like those guys without the upside. So,
well, unlike Derrick Rose, you still got out there and probably finished what you were doing.
No.
Really?
No,
you went full Rose, huh?
Yeah, I said, it's time for me to go home.
Well, hopefully it's no big deal. 713-780-ESPN is your number. So your Oklahoma City Thunder came through last night.
They did. I was surprised. I wouldn't have predicted that. You know, I'm not surprised that this series is good, but I'm surprised that Oklahoma City's won two games in San Antonio. I mean, you have to be surprised by that.
I kind of wonder if it wasn't Billy Donovan and the Thunder who were kind of lying in the weeds this year as opposed to the Spurs.
Could be.
And preparing for the postseason because they look like a different team. They look like a better team. Their two best players are playing better than San Antonio's two best players. And, so far they deserve to be up. And, you know, I'm a little surprised because I really thought San Antonio was clearly the better team. But right now they're not. And I'm not going to be shocked at all if they'd close this thing out in six and get ready to be the team that gets whacked by the Warriors.
Well, I mean, that's I'd be slightly disappointed because I've been waiting all season long for that Spurs Warriors series. But you know what? I mean, just watching these games, you got to hand it to them. The Thunder they look like a better team right now.
And I wonder if it isn't finally I mean, this is where Duncan and Parker in that era,
where it's like, starting to kind of slow them down to the point where it's affecting them.
Yeah, because basically you're counting on Leonard and Aldridge, and you know, right now they're not playing better than Durant and Westbrook, and you're not getting a ton from, you're getting much at all from Duncan and Parker, and I think that's part of the problem. But as Popovich said, series isn't over yet.
Yeah,
as he said tersely. So we'll see.
I didn't know it was over.
Well, if it does end that way, we'll get his thoughts then. But no, I've just been impressed by how close most of these games have become after game one. They've all been entertaining. I didn't expect that, to be honest with you. I didn't expect any real entertaining basketball until we got to, you know, Spurs Warriors basically, and then Warriors / Spurs versus Cavaliers. But you know, Thunder trying to throw a little wrench in the whole thing.
Yep.
And not going to shock me if they do. 713-780-ESPN. My friend Roger tweeted me something, said ESPN.com had a stat. Pop led Spurs teams 2-10 in road elimination games.
Yeah, that's not good.
I'm going to say that's below average. Significantly below average.
But it's still, I mean, the Spurs are one of those teams that until they're dead and buried, I'm not counting them.
Yeah, it's funny, though. I can never quite figure out the Spurs because there are some years when they don't really do anything in the regular season, but then you get to the playoffs and they beat a hole through you. Then they pull what they did last year and lose to the Clippers. And now, I mean, basically they had a free square getting to the next round. So, you know, if they lose this, I got to wonder if this isn't really, as this Spurs team goes, certainly the end of this run, because it's 2 years in a row where you lose to a team that you were better than in the regular season. So,
well, I mean, listen, it wouldn't be the biggest upset ever. The Thunder are a good team. We've talked all season long that they've been kind of overlooked because the Spurs and the Warriors had historically great seasons. I mean, this is they're still a really good team.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And right now they're playing better.
Yep.
And I think the gap between those two is not nearly what I thought it was. Most popular nerd wants to know, what are the odds Tim Duncan calls it quits after this season if they lose to the Thunder?
I don't know, man. I feel like there's some nights where I watch Tim play and I'm like, yeah, he could be a decent role player for you. I mean, he can come and give you some good minutes off the bench. And at least the Spurs are willing to admit that at this point, that he's not a featured player anymore. But I don't know. I don't know if he doesn't strike me as the Kobe type who's going to want like a farewell tour.
No.
But he's got 1 year left. Yeah, I mean, how many guys are going to walk away from a bunch of money when you know you could get it?
Yeah, he's made enough, though. I mean, he's made enough over his career.
You say that, but he had a divorce recently. Probably wouldn't mind some more of that. some more to have in the bank.
Well, I'll just say, for every divorce, that's probably worth, you need to at least 2 more years of contract once it's all cleared. And that was 2 years ago, so he's probably okay. But I don't know, man. I think it just depends on if he wants to be that kind of player. And you know, he seems okay with it, but he's not going to be the Tim Duncan we've all seen over the years. And the question becomes, can they win another title? Otherwise, if he's got enough money, why come back?
Well, is there any doubt that they'll be contenders next year?
Not really.
They've got two of probably the 10 best players in the league.
Yeah.
I mean, they're certainly, really good. They've got
certainly two of the top 12 or 13 for sure.
They've got the best coach in the league. I mean, that's a contending team.
Certainly a good starting point for a contending team.
Yeah.
Now, if you're not going to get anything from Duncan and Parker and those guys anymore, then that's not a title contending team. It's a team that'll probably win a bunch of games in the regular season and then get to the second round of the playoffs.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know if I'm willing to. I mean, did they run into a good team? Yeah. But I don't know that this means they're suddenly no longer title. And hell, they might even still win this series.
No, I'm talking about next year. I'm not talking about now. I mean, you're talking about next season. And I mean, obviously, there's going to be a more erosion from those guys going into next year. And yeah, now, I don't know if the Thunder are going to have either one of these players either.
And I don't think that Tony Parker hasn't looked good this series. But I don't think Tony Parker was bad this season. I mean, what I look for when I look at these vets is I hope these guys realize when they aren't featured guys anymore and they accept that. And I feel like Tony Parker's kind of accepted that.
Seems to have. And again, I still think the Spurs can win the series. I think if they win in Oklahoma City, it's going to be hard to go back and beat them again in San Antonio.
Yeah.
But I do wonder if this is kind of the last run for this particular group.
And remember, Tony Parker's only 33. He's still got a little bit of tread on the tires. Duncan, you're talking about next year he'll be a 40-year-old man. Ginobili's 38 or 39.
But I mean, you know what, though? 33-year-old point guard with a lot of extra basketball because they've played so much. He's played international ball on top of that. I mean, it's probably closer to a 35 or 36-year-old point guard on those legs. You know, plus, you know, how many times he's been married, that affects you too. Trust me. That takes years off your life.
Well, so. Chris Paul isn't too far behind him.
Yeah. Chris Paul is another one, though, who Parker's a durable guy. So, I mean, I'm sure he's got at least a couple years left, but I don't think what's ahead of him is better than what's been behind him. I don't see that. I don't see him having...
Well, I don't believe...
Because there were a couple years ago, he had damn near an MVP season.
Yeah, I don't think we're getting any more of those.
No.
But I still think if he's the third best player on your team, you could do way worse. You know what I mean?
Yeah, depending on what level play you're getting from him. I mean, if you're getting what you got this year, fine. But again, are you going to get that next year? Are you going to get another step back? I don't know.
You know what you are going to get? New windows.
Oh, right?
That's what you're going to get.
Okay, cool.
And listen, it's summertime is coming up. Your energy bill is about to get gnarly. And there's a lot of things. You could sit around your house sweating. That's no fun. Or you could just do the smart thing and replace your old crappy windows, your aluminum, your wooden windows, with new energy-efficient windows. It's going to save you money in the long term. But where do you go, you might ask, for an American-made premium-quality window installed by a reliable company that earned the Good Housekeeping seal? Let me answer that for you. The Houston area is choosing Window World, where you get the best for less. It's a premium-quality, double-pane, double-hung window for only $189. Plus, for $45 extra, you get the Solar Zone Low E to meet Texas energy regulations. Choose from a huge selection of styles and options, and the average home takes only one day for installation. So just one day and $189 per window, you can make your home better looking, more energy efficient. You can increase the value of your home. For a free Window World estimate, call 713-439-1172, or you can go online to windowworldhouston.com. Once again, that's 713-439-1172 for that free Window World estimate. That's windowworldhouston.com.
ESPN 97.5.
Hold my breath if I was you, 'cause I'll forget but I'll never forgive you. Don't you know, true friends stab you in the front.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, Deep South Barrels presents What Are the Odds Wednesday. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Happy What Are the Odds Wednesday. So if you got a really good What Are the Odds... Actually, no, you know what we're going to do? In the at 6:15, we always kind of blast through all the What Are the Odds and we give away something, which we do have that giveaway, right, John? I don't have it in front of me, but...
I think so. She hasn't given it to
me. Okay. Well, I'm giving you guys a topic again this week so you can think about it at 6:15. Because somebody yesterday was... on the text line was talking about, we hate it when people talk smack to us. When somebody calling you a loser or saying you suck Richard is not talking smack. The Blitzers know what good smack talk is. So at 6:15, when we play for the $50 gift card, you're going to get to smack talk us with the best you got. Any one of the three of us or all of us.
Okay.
And we're going to show these dickweeds what real smack talk is.
Okay.
It's not you're a loser. With two O's.
I don't like that.
No, that's weak. You suck. You're an idiot. That's not smack talk. We're going to have some fun with it. So that'll be at 6:15. As of now, let's just grab some phone calls. We'll let Doc lead it off. What is up, Doc?
Yeah, it's sports to y'all.
Hey, sports to you back.
Hey, last offseason, Doc Rivers, he had said that he was willing to break up the Clippers' big three to get some new guys in. And I try to win a championship in L.A. what are the odds that the Spurs or the Rockets try to reach out for one of those three key players?
I mean, you got to think that Chris Paul and Blake Griffin both being injured in the playoffs and missing their series has to minimize their value. DeAndre Jordan's not going anywhere. He just signed.
Yeah.
I mean, and when you think about it, the Spurs would have no interest in Blake Griffin. I mean,
yeah, they already have a guy who plays that position.
And as long as Tony Parker signed, they don't have any interest in Chris Paul.
Well, and here's the reality.
The Rockets, I'm sure, would love them, but what do the Rockets have to trade for?
See, that's the thing. They're in the same boat. Both these teams are in the same boat. You're not going to get value for either one of those guys.
Yeah.
If you're the Clippers and you trade Chris Paul, you're not getting Chris Paul value back. Yeah. Just like if the Rockets trade James Harden, they're not getting James Harden value back.
No.
Not unless you trade for those two. And what good does that do you?
Yeah, if you trade James Harden for one of those guys, you're still in the same spot. I mean, if you trade James Harden for one of those guys, the problem is if Chris Paul was 2 years younger, I'd say trade James Harden
in a heartbeat
now. But Chris Paul is going to be 32 next year. He's got injury issues to begin with. And Blake Griffin, I just don't know if Blake Griffin alone really – hell, Blake Griffin with the best point guard in the league hasn't been able to win anything right for most of his career. So I don't know that he's going to be winning anything with Pat Bev trying to get him the ball.
Although I guess that's – I mean, if you're the Rockets and you – I mean, if you're just hitting reset and saying, all right, we're getting rid of Howard, I don't know that that makes you much better or much different, especially after all the stuff that Griffin had go on this year. I don't know what you have to give up for him. If it's not Harden, what are you giving up? That's the biggest problem. They don't have assets anymore.
No.
They pretty much...
They're stuck in that middle spot where they've got useless draft picks and they don't have quality guys on the roster.
Yeah.
Or at least not guys that other teams would covet.
And all those assets that Daryl Morey spent all that time building up was to put the team together for last year and this year. And now that that's happened, you don't have those assets anymore. Yeah. So now when you hit reset, you suddenly don't have all these Kyle Lowrys you can trade or draft picks that you got for Kyle Lowry or anything like that. Let's try Henry. What's up, Henry?
What's going on, guys?
Sports is going
hey,
on.
Hey, this is not a what are the odds question. This is a straight Rockets question. I've been out of touch with the radio show, so forgive me if I missed anything. But I've heard lately about them being interested in Kenny Smith for the coaching position. But I haven't heard anything about Mark Jackson. I like the Kenny Smith talk, but I'm also interested in what you think Mark Jackson has to bring to the table. So I'd like to get you guys' input on what y'all think about both of those two guys as coaches for the Rockets.
You know, Mark Jackson is a name that for some reason just doesn't come up when new coaching jobs come up.
I think part of that is...
Although I've heard now maybe the Pacers are interested in Mark Jackson. I mean,
part of that is because you've got Larry Bird there and he can deal with a guy who's got a little bit of an a-hole in him, which apparently is one of the big issues with Mark Jackson. I honestly, Kenny Smith, I have no clue if the guy can coach.
And no one does.
Yeah. and maybe that works out. It's worked out for some teams. I mean, you really just need somebody who can kind of juggle the egos and figure out a way to get James Harden to play defense. If he can do that, great. But I have no idea if he can.
And also, the one thing I would say about Mark Jackson is supposedly the Kings looked at Mark Jackson and passed. The Knicks looked at Mark Jackson and passed. The Timberwolves looked at Mark Jackson and passed. And you can look at this two ways. You could look at it and say, well, if those teams don't want him, why would the Rockets want him? Those franchises are in the dumps. Why would the Rockets want that? The other thing is, you could say, well, those are notoriously bad decision-making franchises, and you know, maybe the Rockets can steal one here because they're going to do the smart thing. I don't know what Mark Jackson can do with this roster.
Well, what always gives me a little bit of a pause with a guy like that, though, is look how much better they got when he left.
Yeah.
But
I think that's also the career arc of Steph Curry possibly reached its peak at around that same time.
Possibly, but, you know, it may have been just as possible that Steve Kerr came in, pushed the right buttons, and took that team from a good team to a historically great team, just like Phil Jackson did to the Bulls when when Collins was there.
Yeah, so. I also think that one of the things that that Kerr did that Mark Jackson wasn't was he emphasized defense more than Mark Jackson was. Mark Jackson wanted to be a running team. Steve Kerr said, "Let's make sure we're playing defense too, and prioritize that again." And that's when the Warriors went from being a pretty good team to what they are now.
See, but you know what? You could have made that a what are the odds call. What are the odds one of these two guys would be a good choice for the Rockets, and why? See, you can play along. It's all good. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. Want to remind you, at 7 o'clock tonight, Hustle Town with Craig Shelton, Angelo Lawford, and Jermaine Every tonight. Three of my favorite dudes, right after the Blitz. Let's grab Frank real quick on a what are the odds Wednesday. What's up, Frank?
Sports to you.
Hey, guys, just looking from Florida. Just wanted to know, love the show.
Thanks, man.
After the July 23rd fight between Crawford and Postal, what are the odds for the next 12 months there'll be a boxing pay-per-view that won't have Mayweather, Pacquiao, Canelo, Triple G, Kovalev, or Andre Ward on the card? I'll hang up and listen.
My guess is it's about zero.
Yeah.
Because I don't think Terrence Crawford, Victor Postol should be on pay-per-view, but that's what they're doing anyway. I don't think it's wise that they're putting that fight on pay-per-view.
Yeah, I don't think it's gonna sell very well. I don't think he's a big enough name. I don't think he's interesting enough. But you know,
it's gonna go. I mean, that's gonna be you're gonna pay $50 for that.
I'm not.
I don't think I will either. So
that's kind of my standard on, you know, if I'm not going to buy it, then I'm wondering how many casual fans will buy it. Not because I'll buy more than most people. If I'm on the fence about something, like I was kind of on the fence with Canelo and Khan, but I wanted to see Canelo, so I went ahead and bought it. This one I'm not even on the fence on.
Yeah.
There's no way.
Listen, and he's a guy that Crawford is a guy that when he fights on HBO, Victor Postol too. When these guys fight on HBO, I tune in, no doubt.
Yeah,
but I just don't know if I'm throwing down an extra $50 for it.
On the other hand, I would pay for Golovkin or Kovalev against anybody.
Oh yeah,
pretty much.
But those guys don't get put on paper.
No, and they're always on HBO. So seven.
But I mean, at the end of the day, Postol and Crawford are two undefeated fighters that you know. One of them is going to come out looking really good.
Yeah. Crawford's just boring, though. He doesn't do anything to get you excited.
Typically, when guys make that jump to pay-per-view, it's one of them has become a star.
Yeah.
And I don't know if Terrence Crawford or Victor Postol is a star yet. And maybe whoever comes out of this fight, the winner, is a star. But until then...
Even then, I'm not so sure. We'll see, though. Apparently, though, it looks like a lot can happen because it's boxing, but it does look like Canelo and Golovkin is going to happen in September.
Looking that way, I hope so.
And looks like the possibilities are Los Angeles, Jerry World, and still Vegas.
Of course.
So, nothing personal against Jerry World. I'm rooting for Vegas or LA just because for a variety of reasons. Right. I'm hopeful we'll get sent to that. Pretty sure we will. But... looks like it's going to happen. Everybody's talking. That's good.
Yep.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll get back to you more of your phone calls when we come back. Your Astros are still tied 3-3. It is the bottom of the 10th. The Jong has jinxed them, though. So
Team is so frustrating to me.
How many guys they leave on base in the first four innings?
I don't know. They had the bases loaded three times. They had the bases loaded in the first inning with no outs.
You have to try not to score. You have to try not to score. Yep.
They've left 24 men on base today.
Oh, my God. God,
with 35 at-bats.
That's an obscene number. Well, what are you going to do?
Well, apparently they're going to lose. Well,
They've also struck out 13 times, too. But, so that over-under of 1.5 in that inning,
yeah,
they went over.
Both of that's on you, John. You know that. It's all on you. Quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, Deep South Barrels presents What Are the Odds Wednesday? This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Happy What Are the Odds Wednesday, 713-780-ESPN. The only Astro can get on bases on first with two outs. They walked Altuve. Why would you not?
Yeah, I'd walk him every time. We were talking dirt before the show. I was curious when the last time that, because this was a season where people kind of thought the Astros might be able to, a lot of people picked the Astros to win the World Series. And I started thinking, I mean, obviously it's a bad start. And if they're going to have a chance to make the World Series, somebody besides Altuve is going to have to start playing way
right,
better.
Right.
But when's the last time a team that had one all-star won a World Series?
And that's what they are right now.
They're
right?
A team with one all-star. And you can't even make a case for a second guy.
Well, it's still early enough, and he'd converted 16 in a row until today. I think you can make a case for Gregerson, maybe. Yeah,
without looking at everybody else, yeah. You think about guys like Wade Davis, who hasn't blown a save all year. And,
well, he hadn't until now, so.
Yeah.
I mean, that's but for the most part, yeah, Altuve's the only slam dunk you got. And you would have thought Correa would be in that conversation, and Dallas Keuchel, yeah.
And neither has been.
So it is early yet. We shall see.
Without the skewy voting from last year, how many of those Kansas City Royals would have been true all-stars?
Well,
maybe two of their pitchers?
Wade Davis and Kelvin Herrera got added by the the actual manager.
Maybe Hosmer is the only...
Lorenzo Cain last year was great. You know, I don't know. It's tough. But, I mean, they would have had more than one, I promise you that.
Yeah.
The voting was crazy last year, and you know, but I think that them adding those extra players in kind of says something about it. When they know the whole team got voted in, they still added more Royals to the pitching staff that they didn't have to.
Eldridge said, what are the odds a Blitz will do a show at Twin Peaks in Beaumont when it opens? And then most popular nerd, Beaumont loves the Blitz. What are the odds of another road show? I honestly, the best thing you can do if you want us to come back to Beaumont is go to whichever place that you're hanging out and drinking and tell them you want them to bring us back there, because if they're willing to do it, it does cost a lot. That's the biggest issue. We're always willing to come over there, but somebody has to put up the money. It's that simple. All right, let's try. Okay, what is that name? Care to guess?
Tunded?
Let's try Tunded.
Tunde.
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 Okay.
I knew that, of course.
Yeah, it would have helped if we...
Sports, Tunde.
Hey guys. This is Tunde here.
I knew it. What do you got?
Hey, yeah, I appreciate you guys taking my call. And first of all, big fan, and certainly appreciate the work that you guys do. Driving in and listening to y'all, and I heard you guys make a comment about Mark Jackson and how Steve Kerr's defense was better than Mark Jackson. And first of all, I just wanted to say that I don't... buy that, and I think if you look back on the Warriors and the scheme that Mark Jackson implemented, that team obviously was defensively was a lot better. And my question to you guys is, will your perspective change about Mark Jackson if he had won a championship the next year with the Warriors roster and having a different bench? So
well, of course, I think that Mark Jackson was sort of cursed by injuries. You know, Andrew Bogut was never healthy when Mark Jackson was there. They needed a healthy big. They didn't have one. Klay Thompson went from being a good player to a great player after Mark Jackson left. Draymond Green went from being a nice role player to one of the best players in the league after Mark Jackson left. What they started doing is, when Mark Jackson left, they also started passing more. Steph Curry, his last season was sort of a black hole. They made that stop.
Well, again, though, is that coaching?
Part of it has to be, but I still also think that some of these guys just blossomed at the right time.
Well, and sometimes guys blossom when they get a different coach who uses them the right way.
I thought that Mark Jackson got a tough deal, but he's going to have to go somewhere else to prove it.
And if he were less of a jerk, he probably would have still had his job.
Probably so.
So we'll never know, but I'm not saying that he's not a good coach. All I'm saying is they got better when he left. They were good.
Well, that's undeniable.
But they got better when he left. They won a championship, and they just had the best record in the history of the league. So that makes me skeptical of him. Now, maybe he's one of those guys that can get you to that point right before that, which is where the Rockets have already been, frankly. So I don't know if that works, but you know, I don't know if he can get you any further than that. And he's going to have to prove it somewhere else. Not saying he can't coach and not saying he doesn't deserve some credit for that, but does Doug Collins deserve some credit for the Bulls? Because it was kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
Phil Jackson goes in there and takes that team and wins championships with it. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. Let's get Drew on because he wants to discuss something that I wanted to bring up this segment. So hit it, Drew.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Sports.
Odds.
So, Dana White announced today that he's trying to sell UFC $3.5 to $4 billion. What are the odds that Dana White is trying to get out while the getting is good due to increased fighter salaries and them demanding more? And I'll hang up and listen.
I think Jonk's got the audio of him from Dan Patrick. Can we do that?
Let's play that, and then I'll give you my thoughts.
Okay.
Yeah, we're not up for sale. We're always doing, you know, we're always working on deals and our expansion globally. And, you know, I've been saying since this thing came out, no, we're not for sale. But let me tell you what, somebody shows up with $4 billion, we can talk. We can definitely talk.
And the report is that there's a bunch of companies out there throwing that kind of money at him. And, well, go ahead. You first, because this is your thing.
Okay. Remember, Zuffa bought the UFC for $2 million in 2001. If it's currently worth $4 billion, this is just business 101.
Exactly.
If you take a $2 million investment and turn it into $4 billion in 15 years, and someone wants to buy it from you, you sell it.
Exactly.
You sell it. Because how many $2 million businesses ever turn into $4 billion businesses?
And the reality is, it's not ever going to be worth more than this.
No. They've spent the last year and a half taking the focus off Dana White, who for a stretch was the face of the UFC, and they've made the face of the UFC Conor McGregor and Ronda Rousey, the faces of the UFC.
Right.
So you've built up these two stars who I would argue, with maybe the one exception of Brock Lesnar, but you've got the two biggest stars the promotion has ever had, two biggest pay-per-view draws they've ever had. It's not going to get worth more than this.
No.
If you're ever going to sell it, sell it. And these guys, the Fertitta brothers, they've got other businesses.
Right.
They've got other businesses that are worth more than the UFC. They own casinos.
They just bought another casino in Vegas.
Yeah, they've got plenty of stuff to work on besides this. Dana White, who's a 10% stakeholder, who was basically a boxing trainer / promoter in Boston, can walk out of here with $400 million in his pocket for his 10%. Yeah. You don't think he'd walk away? Dude, I mean, these are numbers that you have to listen to.
Absolutely, because that's not just life-changing numbers. That's generation-changing numbers for your family for generations.
Fred, you know what you could buy for $4 billion? Any NFL franchise you wanted.
Well, that was part of the rumor, was that the Fertittas would be interested in the Raiders, which Dana denied. I would suspect they might be interested in a big chunk of the Raiders if they moved to Las Vegas. But that would be interesting because I still don't know how the NFL would react to casino owners. I mean, it's going to be difficult enough for them to get a team there, but which I think they will. It looks pretty good right now, but I don't know how they'd feel about casino owners owning a team in Vegas. That might not go over too well.
All right, guys. I'm going to tell you about attorney Gary Trichter, and hopefully we'll hear more about that coming up soon. Law enforcement, they're stepping up their efforts with these no-refusal weekends. They can force you to take a blood test or a breath test. If your weekend sucked because of a DWI arrest, don't despair. There's still hope. Even if you failed one of those tests that the police gave you, you should know that those tests are inaccurate. They're unreliable. And most of the science behind those tests is faulty and has been proven faulty in court. Police breath test machines aren't warranted fit for breath testing on humans. It destroys the evidence that it checks, making rechecking and proving your innocence impossible. Most states have gone away from that machine because it's just old technology. Same with the blood test. A lot of inaccuracies about police blood testing. They're not testing your blood. They're testing the air above your blood. It's an indirect and circumstantial test for alcohol. Attorney Gary Trichter is a DWI specialist, and what that means is he's experienced in telling the truth about these tests and the science behind it. He's one of only four board-certified DWI specialists in the entire state, and he's right here in Houston. If you failed the breath or blood test, give him a call. Put his number on your cell phone right now. It's 713-524-1010 or visit texasdwilaw.com. That's 713-524-1010 for attorney Gary Trichter.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You are now about to witness the strength of street knowledge.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, Deep South Barrels presents What Are the Odds Wednesday? This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Don't miss the last weekend of live racing at Sam Houston Race Park. We will broadcast live Friday beginning at 4. It's Food Truck Friday and 50-cent beer night from 6 until 9. Saturday, the Bud Light stage welcomes Roger Krieger. Admission is free with $7 live racing admission before 8 and $20 after 9, or get your tickets online for $14. That's for the Roger Krieger concert, not for Friday. Don't miss Food Truck Friday and Roger Krieger back at Sam Houston Race Park. Is it Krieger or Krager?
I think Krager.
Okay, I don't do country, so I don't know.
I don't either. My brother's big into Texas country, though, and he goes out and sees those shows. So is my dad, and I've heard the name before. So
all right, we'll go with Krager. Krager. And I'm sure somebody can tell me if I'm wrong.
I feel like being from Texas, we should know, but
I know I should know, but darn it, I just don't listen. Yeah. I'm sorry. Let's squeeze in a couple phone calls real quick. John, you're on The Blitz. Go, sir.
Sports. Hey, guys. Hey, I just want to let y'all know that I got my mom a barrel from Deep South Barrel for Mother's Day, and she fell in love with it. So
that's awesome. Nothing better than a drunk mom.
I got a what are the odds question. What are the odds that Jadeveon Clowney makes the past 12 games this season? I'll hang up and listen.
Ooh, 12 games. You know what? I believe this will be his finest effort. I believe this will be his year. 35% chance he makes it past 12 games.
Okay.
I'm confident. 35%.
Yeah. Yeah, I...
You know what, 30. Let's couch that just a little. I don't want to sound too...
It's not the day for me to clown on Jadeveon, honestly.
Yeah, bring out the gimp.
Yeah.
So
as it just took me like 4 minutes to limp back and forth from the bathroom.
Of course, I have like three different pronunciations for the names via the text line. Thanks, guys. Hey, Ken Giles just got out of an inning.
Look at that.
Yeah.
Good for him.
That's...
It's a standing ovation for that.
Yeah, from both people who are still there today. Probably guys who won tickets from us. All right, let's try Sean. What's up, Sean?
Sports guy. Hey, I got a quick one of the odds. Now, I don't know how protocol goes for the voting or when the cutoff was for the MVP, but what are the odds that last performance Steph Curry had in that overtime swayed any votes that pretty much made it unanimous?
Those votes were already in.
Yeah.
It's a regular season award. The votes were in for a couple weeks before we got the actual results released. So.
Yeah, it's all done at the end of the season, regular season. So it has nothing to do with playoffs. So percent zero. All right, one more. James, you're on The Blitz. Go,
hey.
Sir.
Sports, guys.
Hey, sports.
Hey, what are the odds that the with having Luke Walton, a high draft pick, and a roster without Kobe, the Lakers bring in a pretty good veteran this year?
My guess is they are going to – I mean, they're going to have plenty of money to spend.
Yeah, and well
– and people want to go play in L.A., you know.
They do, but let's not lose sight of the fact that this is not the Dr. Jerry Buss Lakers.
Right.
This is a very poorly run organization with bad management – and very close to what the Clippers were before they were purchased recently. And until that changes, meaning Phil Jackson comes back or Jenny Buss takes over and gets her brother out of there, it's going to be a little harder to get guys. This isn't the same Showtime Lakers where everybody wanted to go there.
It's not, but they still have purple and gold jerseys. They're still the Lakers. They're still in L.A. There's a draw. And I mean, obviously, Kevin Durant's going to be their number one target.
He's going to be everyone's number one target.
Yeah.
I think they'll get somebody. I just don't know that. As they're constructed, This is not the same Lakers. These are not the Lakers that Magic wanted to play for and Kareem wanted to play for and guys like that.
I'll tell you who the kind of players that they may end up getting that isn't necessarily the sexy splash that a Kevin Durant would be, but I could see an Al Horford coming in. I could see Ryan Anderson going to play there.
Yeah.
I could see Harrison Barnes, who's going to be a free agent, being a good fit with the Lakers. And I mean, the Warriors would obviously want to keep him, but I don't think they're going to be able to afford to. But that's a guy. That's a way to weaken, you know, the best team in the league, and make yourself better. I'm sure they're.
Well, that's the thing.
That.
Luke Walton might be a guy who attracts players.
Oh yeah.
Plus, you have to play with that snitch.
That's true.
There is that. What are the odds Bill Worrell is coming on the show to explain his voting? We asked. Apparently, he's not interested.
Yeah, they passed. Hmm. They offered us Bullard instead. Is that right, Joe?
That's correct.
Yeah, no thanks.
I like Matt, but, I mean, he's not the one who voted crazy.
Yeah, and...
What are we going to talk to Matt Bullard about? I mean, it's not like we want to talk about the Rockets. We want to talk about... how you could be crazy enough to put James Harden on your MVP ballot and leave Kawhi Leonard off.
713-780-ESPN is your number. And two balls and one strike to Colby Rasmus here in the we're in the bottom of the 11th. Is that where we are?
Yes.
The best part was all you guys screaming on a fly ball to center field like it was going out.
That was all Tyler.
That wasn't all Tyler.
No. He was the only one screaming.
There were other voices.
No.
And it was pretty obvious that...
No, he screamed twice, two times in a row.
All right, well, he's doing it in stereo somehow. I don't know what what equipment you guys got going over there, but I think somebody doesn't want to admit what's up there. So next segment, we're going to go through all the wonderful things that your buddy Dwight Howard said when he was on...
TNT. I've been wanting to talk about this. He gave us some gold last night, huh?
Sort of. But, yeah.
I think what's funny is how people are going to... How people, after that one little interview, how Rockets Twitter suddenly felt totally different.
Yeah. We'll talk about it when we come back. Okay. I give him credit for going and doing that because that couldn't have been easy, and he did have some very uncomfortable questions that he had to deal with. So I'll give him a little credit for that for a change.
Okay.
Usually I'm the first guy saying, don't do that. But we'll talk about that when we come back. Right now we're going to talk about Houston Can Academies, where at-risk kids go to get a second chance. This is a terrific school. Kids who have dropped out of other places – they go to Houston Can Academies. Houston Can Academies works with them. If they need glasses, they get them that. They even feed them. If some kids had to get jobs to support their families, and that's why they dropped out, well, they'll work around their schedule. And that's what Houston Can Academy does. And so many great kids go and graduate and do great things all because of Houston Can Academies. And you can help because they need your donations. And your donations are just vehicles. You're not using anymore. Doesn't matter what kind of shape they're in. Maybe you had one that got messed up in the flood that was sitting out in front of your house and you don't know what to do with it. Well, guess what? Doesn't matter what shape it in, they're going to come tow your vehicle away absolutely free of charge. The donation's tax deductible, and they're going to take care of all the paperwork. It's very fast and very easy. They just come out and handle everything for you. And if you donate today, how about this? Astros tickets. So you can go watch the Astros and see if they can, it's too late to go watch the Indians, but you can go see another game. Give them a call. All you're doing is getting rid of something you're not using anymore, and you're doing a great thing. 713-225-4226, 713-225-4226, or go online to HoustonCarsForKids.com, right off the car, not the kid.
That I'm a gangster, drinking Moet, holding S's, making sure the gas came.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.